First, there are people who consider owning guns to be a major part of their lives, and there are non-gun owners who may know little about guns and their use. But what happens when a non-gun owner starts taking a look at the internet culture of gun owners? Our next guest says that watching YouTube videos showing a perspective that we disagree with can help us understand people on the other side of a debate. Connie Hassett-Walker is an associate professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at Keene University in New Jersey. Her forthcoming book is called Guns on the Internet, Online Gun Communities, First Amendment Protections, and the Search for Common Ground on Gun Control. Connie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, one of the initial subjects of your research here was you. Can you talk about where you started on the gun issue and why you started watching videos made by gun owners, gun enthusiasts?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny thing, because why would somebody do that? I myself am not a gun owner. I'm married to a gun owner. My husband started owning guns some years after we were married, so I have some experience around them. I've fired guns. I've been to the range. He talks to me about them all the time. I didn't really take to it myself, but my impression is, and maybe some of the callers will have different experiences, but my impression is people who handle guns do a lot of, like, cleaning and modifying, and you buy this, you know, gun that might cost you, you know, say $900, and then it doesn't quite fit your hand. So you want to know how to make it fit your hand better, so you go on YouTube and you watch. There's like a whole host of these DIY-type videos for people who want to, I'm considering buying this gun versus that gun. Which one do I want? Which type of ammunition are going to work best with the type of gun that I have? So my husband would watch these type of videos, and I sort of walked in on him one day and saw one, and I was just fascinated by the particular type of video that he was watching at the time was a bump firing video. Now, bump firing with bump stock got a lot of attention after the Las Vegas shooting, but I'm watching this man demonstrate how to bump fire his weapon, which makes it fire rapidly as if it's an automatic weapon. And I thought, wow, how can he do that? And I didn't think citizens could own automatic weapons. And how is he making it do that? And isn't he afraid he's going to get arrested? And what other kinds of videos are out there like that? And then the next sort of logical leap was, well, what about Facebook? And what about Twitter? And what about blogs? So it led to this kind of half-decade exploration of all the ways that really gun culture, how it operates on social media.
And did you feel like you started to change your thoughts about people who did and didn't own guns as you kind of dug further and further into these videos and cultures?
I did, and probably part of it is no doubt the fact that I live with a gun owner, but I wasn't raised around guns. My parents were, but I wasn't, but I didn't know much about them, and I live in New Jersey. New Jersey, if you know anything about gun laws, New Jersey is very strict. But in watching the videos, I'd heard the statistics, like households that have a gun in the house are more likely to have a suicide or a homicide by tenfold. And as I started watching the videos, I became, over time, more sort of neutral on the subject, neutral to gun-friendly. And I also was surprised to find that I developed some favorites. There were certain videos and certain channels that I would return to, because you don't know these people in real life, but they're, you know, it's like you're watching a little, you have a, like, slice into their life, like a little window into their world, to their, like these home movies, and some people are funny and some people are personable, and so I found myself returning to those videos. So I sort of shifted, I guess I did shift over time.
I want to give a listen to one of them, a clip from a YouTube user who uses his gun for tactical zombie training.
Hey, Hickok 45 here. Doing a little zombie training again today, and I know you guys like to come with me when I do that. Maybe you learn something, maybe you don't. But foliage is out, you know, the bushes and leaves and everything. It's difficult to see those things, you know, when they get into the vicinity. So you can never train too much. Got the old DZSG back out, Remington an 870, and we're just going to proceed through the woods here and, you know, kind of get ourselves ready. You know, you got to stay ready for this kind of thing. So come on with me if you like.
And he proceeds to shoot some targets with zombies on them. And quite a character there. And you say, as you just said, you kind of connect to some of these characters.
Yeah, and what there's what you these are just regular people. They're not like, you know, the lobbyists or the spokespeople. They're just you know, sort of regular people like you and me, and they make these videos, and then people comment, and then they respond to the comments. So it kind of creates this sense of community online. People go for information, they go for connectedness, they go, they have questions, sometimes they argue, but it's there's a real kind of thriving online gun subculture that I was unaware of, and I bet a lot of people, unless they're in it, a lot of people are also unaware of it.
Connie Hassett-Walker is with us with the Department of Criminal Justice at Keene University. Her forthcoming book is Guns on the Internet. And Connie, you think there's a, you write that there's a bigger point going on here. We have this very, no secret, very divisive debate on gun issues in the United States. You say if we all start watching the other side's videos more, we may not end up agreeing with everybody, but we may, the corrosive nature of the debate might help, might go away a little bit.
Yeah, I propose this idea at the end of the book called the 100 YouTube Video Challenge, which is grounded in, for all the academics out there, it's grounded in parasocial interaction theory, which is the idea that people can form kind of attachments and connectedness and familiarity to media personalities. So the idea, and I don't know if this would work, but I would love it if somebody would test it, even if they think it's a dumb idea and they want to disprove it. So the idea is, say you get, for like a pilot test, you get 50 people on the gun control side who are going to watch 100 YouTube videos with an open mind, and not like the ones from NRA TV or the lobbyists, but just sort of regular people, and this is their homemade YouTube channel. And vice versa, you get 100 gun owners to watch 100 gun control videos. Those are trickier to find, so I make some suggestions in the book about videos that might work. And then after going through that process, when hypothetically people on both sides might have a little bit more familiarity and sense of connectedness and maybe empathy to the other side, then we can come together and have a conversation about what can we live with, all of us, on this issue of gun rights and gun control, because it's just a battle now, right? So it's an idea for how to maybe increase familiarity to then start a conversation. I'm interested. I don't make specific suggestions about gun control provisions because that's been done by others. I'm kind of interested in what could happen before we talk about that.
And we hear again and again this idea that we're living in filter bubbles, that the internet makes it really easy to only see stuff that we agree with. Internet algorithms help us do that. If I look at one side of the gun debate, the Google or YouTube or whatever is going to keep reinforcing that point of view. It sounds like you're saying, hey, we need to be really intentional about breaking through that bubble.
Yeah, I mean, people look for the things they look for. And I put this out there in a piece I wrote for The Conversation, which is kind of a blog, journalistic type blog for academics. Academics write for it, and I got, you know, a variety of responses. Some people thought it was a good idea. Some people said, "Oh, it's the stupidest idea I've ever heard," and that's fine. That's why, prove me wrong. I mean, go, you know, nothing can be hurt from trying to test this out. But it, you know, we tend to go online and look for the things we want to see. This might is sort of a suggestion to go look for things we wouldn't normally look for, maybe don't want to see.
We are talking with Connie Hassett-Walker, Associate Professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at Keene University in New Jersey. She's explored the subculture of guns and gun owners by watching YouTube videos, going to social media groups, and more. She says even with a really divisive debate, like the debate over guns, maybe we can bridge some of the divide by understanding the other side, by watching what they're doing, what ordinary people are saying about their positions online. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a gun owner yourself? Are you part of these online communities? Do you watch these DIY videos on YouTube that she's talking about? Do you have a favorite? Are you part of Facebook groups or others related to owning and using guns? Why is firearm ownership important to you? If you're not a gun owner, do you feel like you know enough about guns? Do you feel like you wish you knew more or you don't need to know more? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue the conversation with Connie Hassett-Walker, Associate Professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at Keene University in New Jersey. We're talking about gun culture and how guns fit into the lives of those who own them, she went on an experiment. She watched YouTube videos produced by gun owners, looked at social media sites that brought them together. She says that can give us insight into people with different perspectives. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see yourself as a part of online gun culture? Do you have a favorite producers of firearm-related videos on YouTube? Do you have questions for a guest? What do you think of this idea of watching videos from a side that you disagree with, whether it's in the gun debate or others? Call 800-642-1234 or comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Want to give a listen to another person you watched, Connie. This is Heather. Her channel is Heather Vlogs, Vlogs. I should know that. Lots of subscribers. Here's Heather's first experience with a Glock.
Happy perky bouncy. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Give me the attitude. Bam, 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 bam. Come on, come on. Go, 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 go. Yeah. Bam, there you go. Yeah, get work it out, work it out. Come on. Happy perky bouncy. Come on.
Look, I bought Heather this new Glock, and she didn't like it, so she gave it to me. And as bad as I hate to admit this, because I've always been a 1911 person, and I always thought that a Glock felt like a toy, you know, all the plastic and stuff, and but I gotta admit, it shoots really good. I know, I hate to admit that, but it shoots really good. And I can hit quite a bit with it. Wanna try it, Heather? Huh? You know you wanna try it.
We didn't get to hear much of Heather there, but this channel is one you call a favorite for you and others. Why is that?
Well, I like not that specific one. That's right. I think Heather and Jeff, I'm guessing, is her husband. They have this whole the Southern Life with Heather and Jeff, and they're fun to watch. They do gun videos, but they don't just do gun videos. They sort of do it in the context of, you know, how they live and Southern living and hunting, and you know, Heather spends a weekend in the woods at Jeff's request and doesn't like it and stuff. So it's just you feel it's. You sort of feel like you're going on the journey with them. So I found myself gravitating towards videos that I thought were funny, and I was more, because I'm not a gun person, I am less interested in the guns themselves, but I'm sort of interested in the people and sort of their expressions and how they, you know, talk when they're just relaxed and joking with each other. And so that I just, they're some of the ones I like to watch their videos.
Let's go to our callers now. Allison is with us in Milwaukee. Allison, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Good. So it is an interesting dilemma. So my husband and I both are very, I guess, more liberal, left-leaning for sure. We have two little girls, and a few years ago, our stance on guns was anti-handgun, anti-gun. We live in Milwaukee, and a break-in. We were all sleeping, and someone broke into our home while we were asleep, and our alarm went off. Our ADT went off. And after that happened, his position drastically changed on handguns. We had lots of months of sleepless nights, and he traveled for work, and I couldn't sleep. And so now he has many, five or six guns in the home that are in a locked safe, of course, a finger-proof safe, but it's crazy how I'm still grappling with this choice of wanting to be able to protect my family and having the right to have guns, right? I don't want to pick one up. I've tried, you know, once I thought I heard something and I couldn't even figure out how to get the safe open because I was so nervous. So I'm not a born gun person. But he has gone the other direction. And it causes, you know, our dinner parties are always fun and lots of people arguing over guns, and it's interesting. But it's when you have experiences like that happen to you, I can see how, and I've watched him go from a very hardcore left liberal position to having one bad experience and wanting to protect his family, going way over to another side and watching these videos and watching things on guns. And it's just, as an observer and someone who's been in it, and just a self-struggle with grappling of, I'm against handguns. I watch these school shootings, and it makes me want to throw up, right? It's so awful.
Yeah.
And then seeing him. So it's just interesting how those things and experiences can change you so drastically.
Allison, thanks a lot for sharing that story. And I'm sorry you and your family went through that with the break-in. But Connie, I mean, this is part of what you're interested in, the personal stories of people grappling with these issues, not necessarily the, I guess, the talking points that we've all heard a zillion times.
Yeah, and that must have been really scary for Allison, was her name.
Allison, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the decision to get a gun or not get a gun is a really personal one, and I myself am not a gun person, and I feel awkward handling them, but that may be her experience as well. And so again, the talking points, we hear about the scary stuff, and certainly being a crime victimization experience might be a reason somebody would want to own a gun, buy a gun, carry a gun to protect themselves. There's a lot more. There's just a whole world that's out there that is sort of the, I'm not trying to, you know, minimize gun violence, of the videos that I saw. And, I mean, there are tens of thousands of them that are just all different types of experiences, the fun stuff, the pride in being a good shooter, the you know, camaraderie with your friends all going out together. What I'm suggesting is if people want to, you know, kind of go into the world of online gun videos, it's hard on an issue of guns to keep an open mind, but to try to do it, because it's interesting, the stuff that you see. I thought it was really fascinating.
Thanks for that call, Allison. We'll go next to Kevin in Barneveld. Kevin, hi.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. I would just first like to say that I was exposed to guns at a very young age. At the age of 18, I enlisted into the service and through no fault of my own, became a small weapons specialist. And I fired all different types of handguns and what the Army considers small weapons, which is up to and including 50 caliber machine gun. You know, a gun is a tool. And there's gun people and there's people that aren't gun people. And I liken those to people that are dog people and people that are cat people. There will always be room for some movement here and some compromise, but the two will never meet. They will never come together in the middle. You will never convince a gun person to not be a gun person or vice versa. And I'll just like to say two more things. This country was built on the gun. If there was no gun, there would be no America. And so my second point is, whether you are in favor of guns or you aren't in favor of guns, when you absolutely have to have a gun, nothing else works.
Kevin, thanks a lot for that call. I want to go to his point, Connie, saying, basically, they're never going to bridge the gap. You're not going to change people. You're not necessarily hoping that people are going to change their minds, but that they can find at least a common ground to argue along.
Yeah, no, I think Kevin makes a good point. And I'm wondering, instead of thinking about how can we come together, I've been wondering if it's thinking in terms of, is it possible to, if we can make an effort to get more familiar with the other side. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to demonize your enemy, right, your opponent. They're terrible. They're nothing like me. It's more complicated to think that we have more in common than different. What could we all live with? You know, when there's a car crash, and that you hear a lot of comparisons of guns to cars, like understanding all the parts and the attachments and stuff about guns is sort of like understanding all the things under the hood of a car. When somebody gets into a car crash, like a drunk driver gets into a car crash, We don't immediately call for banning cars. We understand that some places we have cars and you need them, and other places there's good public transportation. It's about sort of the driver of the car. And I'm wondering, in kind of the culture wars that we have now, there are, you know, a variety of things. There's immigration, environment, abortion. We don't have cars as part of the culture wars. And I'm wondering if it wouldn't be possible to have guns be like cars. Something terrible happens, like a Parkland shooting, like a Las Vegas shooting. I don't know, if it's possible to shift the debate so there's something we could all live with, if that makes sense.
Now, there might be people on the anti-gun side of the debate who say, you know, maybe we've got plenty of guns. We've got a lot of guns in this country. Gun culture is all around us. We see, you know, the regular death toll of shootings and the mass shootings like Parkland you just mentioned. People don't necessarily want to know more. They don't want to dig into a world that normalizes firearms.
Yeah, but if we're just stuck, you know, we're just stuck. We battle over this issue, and it's just, I'm wondering if there isn't a way through social media. And it's an idea. I don't know that it would work, but to find, you know, become more familiar with each other so we can listen more, battle less, and just come to something that we could all live with, not necessarily like, not having, you know, people, non-gun people become gun owners and vice versa, but something we could all sort of tolerate, so we don't have to keep fighting this over and over again, because we're just treading water.
Now, you're coming to this from a perspective as a criminal justice professor. Is this
right.
sort of outside the mainstream in the normal, the sort of work you and your colleagues would usually do?
Not all of them, but probably criminal justice is a little bit more towards the violence prevention, gun control side. But there are certainly people who do work on the gun rights side. There aren't a lot of people who've looked at guns through the lens of social media, in at least in criminal justice, that I know of.
And as we wrap up, Connie, you've got your book coming out. You've been doing this, so watching these videos for work for a long time. When the book is out, I mean, are there still YouTube producers you're going to follow, even if you don't need to?
Probably. I mean, this is sort of the year of me doing gun stuff. I may move on to a different area of research down the line. But, you know, I live with a gun owner, so it's always sort of a topic of conversation. He's always watching. You know, he bought a shotgun, and the shells aren't coming out, so he has to look. You know, it's always something that comes up for me personally.
Connie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Okay, thanks for having me.
That's Connie Hassett-Walker, Associate Professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at Keene University in New Jersey. She joined us to talk about the subculture of gun owners on the internet, and she says we could learn a lot from watching their videos or watching things that produced by people we disagree with on an issue. Her forthcoming book is called Guns on the Internet, Online Gun Communities, First Amendment Protections, and the Search for Common Ground on Gun Control. You can still join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page.